Hey, what's up with your dishwasher, by the way?
I have a new dishwasher. I have a new dishwasher.
The supply chain crisis is solved.
And now everybody
knows. Exciting way to start happy hour. That's right. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we are making today make sense. My goodness.
Yes, and I'm Kimberly Adams, and I did spend several months without a functioning dishwasher. Yay, supply chain drama. Right. But I do have a functioning dishwasher now, so I am grateful for that. And I'm also grateful to be in Happy Hour Friday. This is what we call Economics on Tap. The live stream is up and running. Thank you to everyone who's joining us live, either on Discord, on YouTube, or any other social media platform of your choice.
So there we go. Friday means, well, it means the same as it always means. We'll do some news. We'll do a little half full, half empty. And then we'll move along. This is the last beer in the fridge, sadly. I need to go shopping.
Ooh.
Hazy Heal the Bay IPA. Yeah, it was the same thing last week, too. I'm a little boring with my beers. Oh, well.
No, of course not. You know.
What about you?
Well, I am having a mint julep.
Is this Derby weekend?
No, but there's mint in my garden and bourbon in my house.
Oh.
And, you know, so there's we have a mint julep.
Oh, well, there we go. So I guess we got to have some bourbon then.
Okay, you know, if it's there. Let's see. What is everybody else drinking? I see a bourbon Manhattan, blueberry lemonade seltzer. That sounds delicious.
New Belgium Fat Tire
IPA.
KLF Jote says absolutely boring IPA every damn week. I know. At least I'm consistent.
Yeah, it's fine.
At least I'm consistent. Peach Margarita, Salzburg Stiegelradler. Yeah. That's good.
Lots of old fashions. Lots of old fashions. Yes, I feel like we have a very bourbon crowd.
Yeah, we kind of do. Kind of do.
Yeah. Hard seltzer.
Diet Dr.
Iced
Pepper.
Coffee.
Hard seltzer. Hard seltzer is over, Megan O'Hare. I'm sorry to tell you this, but hard seltzer is over. Sam Adams came out yesterday after the bell and said, we totally missed the mark on Truly, our hard seltzer, and their shares were down 26% today, the Boston Beer Company. So seltzer's over. I'm sorry to tell you.
I see those things everywhere when I leave my house, down the drain. Nobody's drinking them.
Nobody's drinking them.
Yeah, I guess that's why I see it everywhere, stacked high in the store.
That's right.
Okay. I see some River tap water on Discord for the win.
I do not have a mustache, Nichelle Stevens. I just haven't shaved in 4 or 5 days. And, you know, so that's it. I look incredibly bad with facial hair. That's a whole different podcast.
Come on now. I'm sure some people love it.
No, I do. I truly do. No, nobody loves it. Anyway. So let's do a little news, and then we can get to the game at hand. Why don't you go first? How about that?
Looking at I listen to KWMU a lot because my hometown public radio station, and St. Louis and St. Louis County are renewing their mask mandates on Monday.
Oh wow! Wow.
So I hope everyone is satisfied with the anti-vax narrative. So St. Louis and St. Louis County will once again require all residents to wear masks in indoor public places to prevent the coronavirus from spreading. Mandate goes into effect Monday and applies to all people over the age of 5, even those who've received the COVID-19 vaccine. And officials will encourage everyone to wear masks outdoors, especially in group settings. Matthew Carroll says, but not in St. Charles County, which is near St. Louis. But it's just like, we didn't have to be here.
No.
And
that's the part that's crazy making. You know?
Yeah.
And when you have the governor of Alabama coming out today and saying, it's the unvaccinated people who are doing this to us. You're like, really, Kay Ivey? I mean, let's have vaccination wallets and all that stuff you refused, but thank you for speaking the truth, you know? Anyway.
I mean, late.
Anyway. Yeah.
There was a news about a conservative talk radio show host today who'd been pretty down on vaccines, who's apparently quite ill, and his family is now begging people to get vaccinated. And, you know, I wouldn't wish this stuff on anybody. No. But the damage that is being wrought in the wake of people sort of advancing a very political agenda is devastating. And, yeah, that's I'm worried about my family yes. back home. Worry about
yeah,
everybody.
For sure. For sure.
Certainly ask my mom to start wearing her mask everywhere again, even though she's vaccinated.
What'd she say? Is she going to do it, or is she being
Oh, of course. Of course. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's definitely right. doing it. And my aunts and things. I have a couple of cousins who believe the misinformation online. And what do you do?
I should,
okay,
I should call my mom this weekend and see what she says. So mine is actually completely related, and it's kind of a threefer. Item number one is that a guy named Rick Dennison lost his job today. The reason that's interesting is that Rick Dennison is an assistant coach with the Minnesota Vikings of the National Football League. And the National Football League Minnesota Vikings fired him today, sources report. This is being reported by ESPN and Reuters, because he refused a COVID-19 vaccine. Item number one. Item number two, and maybe those of you who follow sports ball saw this earlier this week, the NFL came out, and this led directly to Rick Dennison's firing. The NFL came out earlier this week with a policy document about the coming season and coronavirus, and that policy document said in no uncertain terms, number one, if you have to forfeit a game because an unvaccinated player on your squad couldn't make it, there will be no makeups. You lose that thing, and you lose that game. And also, here's the best part. And also, if you have to miss a game because an unvaccinated player on your team couldn't be there or caused the cancellation, nobody will get paid. Nobody will get paid, which I just think is amazeballs. Amazeballs.
Okay.
Right? Think about that. Think about that. So that's sort of one item all rolled into one. Item number two is, and I saw this on Twitter, and it was Caitlin Collins at CNN who retweeted it. She's from Alabama. I don't think she actually said it. But if Nick Saban, the head football coach at Alabama, said, hey, we're not going to take the field this fall until 90% of Alabamans are vaccinated, they'd be lining up tomorrow. They would be lining up tomorrow, right? I mean, they truly would. Here's item number three. Same vein, same sport, same everything. Dak Prescott. The quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, America's team from back in the day, was taking questions today at training camp, was asked if he is vaccinated. He said, and this is a quote, I don't necessarily think that's exactly important. I think that's HIPAA. So two things. Number one, it is important. Number two, that's not what HIPAA means. Anybody can ask you, and you may tell anybody your vaccination status without violating HIPAA. HIPAA prevents healthcare professionals from discussing your healthcare in a non-healthcare setting, right? It's about healthcare workers, not about you. And you're seeing that all the time. And it makes me crazy that people are doing the, oh, that's HIPAA and you can't do that. Marjorie Taylor Greene, all the rest of them. So I don't know.
I'm just stuck on what it says that all of these carrots and sticks, as Susan Dupree points out in the YouTube chat, all of these carrots and sticks have to be used when we have the information. And
yeah.
I remember very early in the Trump administration when he was really hammering in on the fake news, fake media, fake news, fake news. One of the things that, you know, the media journalists and the journalism ethics people warned about was this, that if you keep convincing people that the media is fake and we're liars and we're biased and all these things, one day something is going to happen where you need to convey crucial information to the public and no one is going to believe us. And of the things mentioned were like a natural disaster with an evacuation order or a pandemic. This was in the narrative as a direct consequence of the fake news narrative. And now we are seeing it happen in real life and have to jump through all these additional hoops to try to get people to do what's necessary to save their lives. Okay.
And it's insane.
Oh, I did want to include insane. That is also sports related. Because I knew I was going to be
chuckling
a downer today.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I know, because me and sports, it's risky.
I know.
Naomi Osaka lighting the Olympic torch. And I know that the Olympics are problematic in so many ways this year.
Yeah.
And very worried about the folks there, hoping that everybody stays as safe as they can. But, you know, I was looking at what she posted on Twitter about it. She said, "Undoubtedly the greatest athletic achievement and honor I will ever have in my life. I have no words to describe the feelings I have right now, but I do know I am currently filled with gratefulness and thankfulness. I love you guys. Thank you." And
that's great.
That's just a nice moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because she's been so bravely open about her mental health challenges, I think that it's really nice for her to have this moment and for us to be able to share it. So, that's how I'm ending my week.
Absolutely. Good deal. That's a good one. All right, Charlton, hit it. Do that time. Oh, my goodness. All right. Here we go.
Are you half full or half empty on teenage workers filling the labor gap?
So that was Drew Jostad. And the game is half full, half empty. And I should say, Drew Jostad stepping into the breach when neither one of Kimberly nor myself said anything. What's the half full, half empty? I wasn't paying attention. No, it's fine.
Teenagers flooding the job market to fill the labor gap.
Well,
I'm going to say half empty.
It's an interim solution. Right? I mean, there are jobs that work for teenagers because they're teenagers and don't have mortgages and dependents and rent and obligations and all that stuff. But that's not a salve, for the actual problems in the labor market. So I'm going to say half empty. Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to say half empty because, you know, a while back I did that story about the one sector where there actually is a labor shortage, which in many sectors, it's just they don't want to pay people enough. But in this particular sector, which is lifeguards, there actually is a shortage of qualified people to do the work. And one of the guys who ran a pool company who was really struggling to hire, he said, you know, these kids have been on lockdown for the last year and a half, and they don't want to spend their summer working. They want to get their lives back and see their friends. And on top of that, a lot of them have to catch up for learning that they missed or opportunities that they missed during the pandemic. So I don't think it's a good it's going to fill the gap. I also think, and this is something I've been meaning to look into a little bit more, that I don't think we fully explored the role of undocumented folks in this staffing shortage that we have. Because if you think about the industries that are facing the worst shortages, these are industries where there were often a lot of undocumented people working. So did something happen in the pandemic that made them unable to come back to work for whatever reason? And is that contributing to it? And this is a question I've been kind of asking around, but I don't know yet.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, Drew, number
two. All right. Half full or half empty on the EU carbon tariff?
Half full.
Wow. Half full because we have to put a price on carbon. I think that's, I was just thinking through the market dynamics of this. But yes, half full. Half full. Well, of course, the challenge, of course, is that we've tried carbon markets, and generally speaking, they haven't worked all that well, specifically in this country. But yeah, half full. Anyway, sorry.
All right.
Continue.
Next topic is Dollar General healthcare.
Ooh.
Kimberly, you get to go.
Half full for getting people some kind of access.
Yep.
We already have a shortage of medical providers in this country, so I'm not sure where they are getting the people to do this. Are they training additional people? Are more people going to be spreading themselves thin? What was the quality of care going to be? And not to say that, you know, Dollar General is going to be any different than any of the other clinics run by these massive health insurance companies or healthcare companies. But Dollar General is in a lot of places, in a lot of places where there are not other services. So this goes back to when Amazon announced that it was going to do this whole remote nurse thing. You know, we may not like the method of delivery, but if it gets people care, does that make it any better? So it's a tentative half full.
Yeah, I'll go with half full for the same exact reason. I think it's going to be tough to get providers, right, into those rural places. But if stores like Dollar General, which are there, don't do it, then who will? Because, I mean, that's the name of the game. That's where I am.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Number four, I believe.
Gonna wrap this up, continuing the sports theme. Are we half full or half empty on the Cleveland Guardians?
Oh, this is so interesting.
I do not know this story, but I'm hoping it means a sports team name change because,
That's exactly what it means. So the Cleveland Indians, which for 100-something years have been named the Indians, which is problematical for a whole lot of reasons.
With an extra racist mascot image.
Right, exactly. Announced this morning that they are changing their name to the Cleveland Guardians. And at first blush, you're like, Guardians? What? But then as you dig into this story, you discover that in Cleveland, there is a bridge or maybe several bridges which have these really cool Art Deco sculptures and statues of the Guardians of Transportation. And it's super cool looking. So I'm half full, both on the merits of it, which is to say getting away from the racist and really problematical imagery that they use in the name, but also for the hometown roots part of it. I think that's super cool.
Based solely on what you have told me, I'm going all the way full. Yeah. And I'm thinking of that song from the really old Drew Carey TV show. Do you remember? What was that show? Because it was like Cleveland Rocks. You don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Someone else help me in the chat.
It was the Drew Carey show.
It was called the Drew Carey show. Of course it was. because that's a logical thing. I should mention, Adam First, who I'm sorry if I mispronounced your last name, mentioned in the YouTube chat. We still do not have a new name for the Washington football team. And so they keep
And it's saying, been years. It's been like 2 years. Yeah.
I don't know. Time has no meaning. There were a bunch of names floated at the beginning, but it just kind of fizzled. And everyone was just like, you know, let's be nothing. Just the Washington football team.
And so they're just the Washington football team. Whatever.
Yeah. So, okay.
There we go.
Wow, we did a lot of sports. Look at us.
We did a lot of sports today. A lot of sports. Get us. All right, Charlton, I believe that is the end of the segment. Yes? Yes. There it is. There we go. We are done for the week. Molly, I am told, is back next week. I am here. In the meanwhile, send us your comments, questions, your answers to the Make Me Smart question. You can send us anything you like. Email or voice memo at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Or you can call us. Our number is 508-827-6278, which is 508-UB-SMART. Just spell it out on your phone.
Great.
Just give that a try. See how that works.
And I should mention, like, we do pay attention to this. I know we got a lot of feedback from yesterday's show, for sure.
Yes.
In the meantime.
We'll hit that on Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah. Make Me Smart is this podcast that is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered, hello Kai, by Charlton Thorpe. Stephen Beyond produces our favorite game, Half Full, Half Empty, and the YouTube live stream as well, where there are now 495 people commenting on whatever we're saying, which is kind of wild.
This is Washington football team. Sorry. Hello, everyone. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner, and the executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves, and thanks, everybody. It was nice to virtually see y'all.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend, Kai.
You too.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.